Thank you very much, Brother Moody. Turn with me, please, to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Rather, chapter 6. Gospel of John, chapter 6. And while you're turning to it, in about 10 days, I shall be myself going overseas to preach the Word of God to the Shetland Islands. And I had some Bible markers for encouraging folk to remember us in prayer. I think there are a few more in the back on the table. If you would take one as a reminder to pray for us, we'll appreciate that very, very much. John's Gospel, chapter 6, verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. And when evening was now come, his disciples went down unto the sea, and entered into a boat, and went over the sea towards Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea, and drawing near unto the boat, and they were afraid. But he saith unto them, It is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land to which they went. I'm sure the Lord would bless to our hearts the public reading of his precious word. Three of the Gospels preserve this record of the storm and Jesus walking on the sea. It is my feeling that preoccupation with the walking of the Lord Jesus upon the sea somehow causes us to miss some truths that we believe may be of great encouragement and blessing to us. John's Gospel is one of those three Gospels. Matthew is one, the other is Mark. I said to you last Sunday evening that miracles in the Gospel of John are more than supernatural interventions. They are that, to be certain. But they are more than just a supernatural intervention. We believe, as the word miracle is translated from the word a sign, indicates the fact that it goes deeper. There are those things that the Lord would have us to realize as we look a little deeper in the miraculous happenings of the Gospel according to St. John. When you read the scriptures, there is a lot said about the sea. The theologian says that sea is significant of the world. But it's not only significant of the world, but it also speaks of uncertainty. It speaks of uncertainty. God's way is in the sea. And also, it speaks of the condition of a person outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. For the wicked is like the troubled seas, which cannot rest. But in regards to the fact that it also speaks of separation. This is why we believe in the book of Revelation, chapter 21, and the very first verse, I think it is said that there shall be no more sea. So when we arrive in heaven, When Jesus comes to call us all home, there'll be no more separation. We'll be together forever. But we like to look a little closer at the records of this particular storm at sea. Because as I mentioned, we believe it has some things that will help us to understand some things we need to understand. And the first thing we'd like to mention in that as quickly as possible, the fact of the situation of the sailors. The situation of the sailors. Now just let me give you a little background then to the voyage as we have before us. The Lord Jesus Christ had just finished feeding the 5,000 men besides women and children, as we have recorded in the Gospel according to St. Matthew. We believe it was a notable miracle performed by the Lord Jesus Christ there in Matthew's Gospel, and of course here in John's Gospel too. We believe there were approximately some 30 or so thousand people who were blessed that day through the miraculous power of God. And the Lord Jesus, after performing such a miracle and feeding such a vast company, there are those folk who said, well, let's make him to be king. You see, their interest was not so much his sovereignty, not so much his rule, but their interest was the bread. Jesus tells them that later on in that chapter. He says, you're not looking for me because you want me, but you're looking for me because you're concerned about the bread that I have provided for you. You are concerned about that. And you see what they wanted. They wanted a king. They wanted a person who could give them a perpetual feast, that they would not have to worry about the material things of life. And Jesus tells them in this same Gospel, chapter 6, he tells them that you are not to be concerned so much about the things that perish. That's what you are laboring for. But that's not to be the most important thing. The most important thing that you should be concerned about is the bread of life. Is he who came down from heaven, and if a person would partake of him, will live forever. This is, my friends, what Jesus wanted to get across to the people, but he had fed the multitude. They wanted to make him king, and the Bible says in Matthew that he withdrew and went to the mountain. Before he did, he told his disciples to get into the boat and go across to the other side, and he will dismiss the people. But Matthew includes that he goes into the mountain to pray. He goes into the mountain to pray. While he is there on the mountain, he realizes that out there in the middle, in the midst of the Sea of Galilee, a storm had arose. And his disciples were in great trouble. And they were toiling in their rowing. It's interesting to note that. They were toiling in their rowing. And as they were laboring, life was threatened. But one wonderful thing about it is, they were always in the mind of God. They were always under the supervision of our Lord Jesus Christ. He never forgot them. They might have thought so. Oh, the Bible says, and Jesus did not come to them as yet, as we have read to you in verse 17. But although he had not gone to them as yet, remember, they were still in his mind. He was still cognizant of what was happening, what they were going through. And so he goes to them. But let's look a little closer here as we consider the situation of the sailors, because we want to apply it, of course, to life in general. Because you must remember When we come to the Gospel of John, John is the Gospel to the world. Therefore you have expressions like thirst, everybody thirst, hunger, everybody is hungry one time or the other, life, everybody needs life, and so John's Gospel is the Gospel to the world. And so when we think of this, we want to make some application to those who are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. The situation of the sailors. Now it is said about them that they were in the dark. They were in the dark. Now that is true of every person who dares to sail the sea of life alone without the Lord Jesus Christ. If you dare to sail the sea of life without Jesus Christ, you will be in the dark. You will not know how to maneuver. You will not know how to manipulate. My friends, you will find out that you will be in utter darkness if you dare to sail without God. Thank God for all the fishermen who are Christian. Those boats that have Christian captains, God bless you. This was a very touching service tonight. A very moving service. And I believe you should never forget. You should never forget. There is a wonderful blessing to know that you have a Christian captain and a Christian crew. Let me just drop something in your ear. There is a biblical principle as you read through the Bible that says to us that God blesses people because of His people. God blessed Pharaoh because of who? Joseph. Brother Wayne mentioned it. God blessed Pharaoh because of Joseph. God blessed Elimelech because of Abraham. And let me tell you, God blessed Laban, because of Jacob. God blesses people because of His people. Now sometimes some people tend to give God's people a lot of trouble. But you must remember, God is a good God. And because of the presence of the people of God, God seeks to bless. But let me tell you, for you as an individual to sail the sea of life without Jesus Christ on board, you're going to be sailing in the midst of darkness. And when we think of this, it bespeaks the fact of the lack of spiritual discernment. Paul tells us when he wrote to the Ephesians, he said as he spoke to them, you must not follow the way of the Gentiles. They walk in darkness. Their hearts are darkened. And this speaks of spiritual perception. You see, they don't have the barometer. They cannot discern the dangers that lurk through the weather. Because they do not have the Spirit. You do not have the Spirit of God living in your heart. You remember when Paul was on that Mideastern ship heading for Rome. He told the people, he said, Captain, you better not leave from here. And the captain and the centurion, they disregarded what Paul said. I suppose being a prisoner, they thought, what does a prisoner know about the sea? Well, you see, that particular prisoner was in touch with Heaven's Weather Bureau. And when you are in touch with Heaven's Weather Bureau, the barometer is not wrong. Then the barometer says, storm, there will be storm. That's what happens when you are in touch with Heaven's Weather Bureau. And let me say also again, in relation to God's blessing other people because of His people, every person on that Mideastern ship was saved, though the ship was destroyed. You know why? The Bible tells us, because of Paul. Because of Paul. My friend, listen, to sail without Jesus Christ is to be in the dark. It bespeaks the fact of the lack of spiritual discernment, not having the barometer, dealing with a little nautical instrument. not having the barometer. And my friends, if you don't have the barometer from a spiritual point of view, then you don't understand your spiritual condition. The Bible says the God of this age, He blinds men's eyes. He pulls the wool over your eyes. He pulls the shades down as it were. And you are not able to understand your spiritual condition. You understand everybody else's own. That's why you see you have a lot of fishermen and non-fishermen who look a lot at other people. Oh, they know full well how the other people should live. You have them people in Spanish well? Oh, maybe this is different. But in my movement, I find a lot of people who know a lot how people should live. I am not because of them, because of the way they are. But let me tell you, friends, when you stand before the great tribunal, you will not be able to point the finger at anybody else. As my old grandmother, before she went home to be with the Lord, used to say years ago, every tub must sit on its own bottom. You must remember that. But listen. Listen, to sail without Christ, you will be in the dark, which bespeaks the fact of the lack of spiritual discernment of our condition before God, of condemnation by God. Then there is no direction. There is no direction. It's interesting to note that the Lord Jesus, when He spoke to them in Mark's record of this storm at sea, Jesus said to them, now you must go across to Bethsaida. We are told that when they got in the boat, in Mark, in John's gospel, they headed for Capernaum. And when they ended up, they were in Gennesaret. They were in Gennesaret. They did not have direction. And this is true of all those who dare to sail without the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no direction, my friends. In other words, they don't have the compass. They don't have the compass. Now, Christian friends and fishermen, please, you've been given a Bible, and I do not suppose that your book doesn't have a Bible. I'm not supposing that, because I believe if you're a Christian, you got your Bible on the boat. You got your Bible on the boat. But let me tell you, don't keep it closed. That is God's compass. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, that you might know the pitfalls as you walk along, my friends, because there comes the storms, you know. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? But as you move along, the word of God becomes a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It gives direction. It's a compass. It tells you how to set course. It tells you what direction to go. Yes, friends, that's what it does. And the person who sails without Jesus Christ, he is in the dark, and there is no spiritual discernment, neither is there any direction. They don't have the barometer, and they don't have the compass. Oh, it's important, the situation of the sailors. You see, a lot of them think they know. A lot of people unsaved, they think they know, they think they have the answer. The Jews thought they had the answer. And the Bible says they went about trying to establish their own righteousness, ignoring the righteousness of God. But they were rejected, had to be, because the only righteousness that would be accepted by God is the righteousness found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, my friends, the situation of the sailors, they were in the dark. Also, they were exposed to the storm. They were exposed to the storm. There they were. The storm had arisen, and their small bark was threatened. And I have here in my notes, in seeking to apply this, the storm of passion, the storm of doubt, the storm of an accusing conscience, the storm of the fear of judgment. Yes, this is the storm that rages through the breast. Now the person who is not a Christian, that's why the Bible says the wicked is like the troubled sea which cannot rest, and it cannot rest because it is filled with fear. And it is filled with fear because there is no peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, they were exposed to the storm. They were exposed to the storm quickly. To sail without Jesus Christ is to be in the dark, is to be exposed to the storm, and is to know certain destruction. And with this, they have no chart. You see, in the dark, without spiritual discernment, no barometer. To be in the dark, my friend, and without any direction, no compass, for their destruction to be certain, there is no chart. You see, as you captains and navigators know, the chart is to tell you where the channel is. The chart is to tell you where the reefs are. Now I know you have the chart and you have the Lorraine, right? That tells you where the traps are. You set the traps by the Lorraine. But you see, without the chart, you don't know where the shoals are. You don't know where the channels are. And it's important to have the chart on board. There was an English sailor who was known to sail the seas. And during some later investigations, those persons who move about and try to see the conditions of the sea and so forth, found a shoal, found a reef, and so they put it on the chart. It was made known that all the captains would know, but this particular captain didn't believe it. Oh, he says, I've sailed these waters from I was young, and I've never seen that reef. There is no reef. On his way, on one occasion, loaded with passengers, he said to the passengers, he says, now, there have been a notation on the chart saying that in this area is a reef. I have been sailing here for years and I've seen no reef. I'm going to prove once and for all that the chart is wrong. And so he says, we are just about to the spot that's shown on the chart where the reef's supposed to be located. And as he sailed along, he was sailing with confidence, and when he thought he had passed, he said to the people of the intercom, he says, I have passed the area, and there is no reef, and in moments he heard a dragging. He heard a dragging, my friend, and the boat settled down, and a big hole like the lollipop was knocked in the boat. But you see, they were in an area where they couldn't get help too quick, like the lollipop. And the boat went down to the great loss of many souls. The chart is important. It tells you where the shoals are, where the reefs and the channels. And the person who dares to sail without Jesus Christ, your destruction is certain because you don't have the chart. All those who know the Lord Jesus Christ on the sea of life, they have the chart, and they know where the pitfalls are. They know where the dangers are. And if there is any doubt, they consult the heavenly navigator, and he points out those things. And they are sailing to safety, not without difficulty sometimes. Storm comes, as we've mentioned, but it's always the sailing to safety when you are in touch with the heavenly navigator, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm going to close in just a moment. But I want to mention the salvation of the Savior. There they were, out there toiling and rowing. And the Lord Jesus finishes praying. And he gets up and he descends from the mountain. He comes down to the shoreline of the Sea of Galilee. And he didn't bother to take a boat. He just walked on the velvet sea. He just walked on the water. And it was rough. The storm was raging. But let me tell you, friend, God does move in mysterious ways. His wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the sea and he rides against the storm and he gets on the water. He walks out to those sailors, those men in that boat, and he assured them that, listen, I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Oh, it's good to know that fisherman. When it's difficult out there, oh, it's wonderful to know that God is there. Not providentially, he's everywhere providentially. I'm talking in a personal manner. He's there with you because you belong to him. It's good to know that. It's good to know that. And my friend, whenever he's there, and he's always there, and he's there to bless you. Like the poem that our sister wrote, mentioning the many years, the many struggles, yet casualties so few. God is there. God is there. He comes and he walks upon the sea, and as he approaches the boat, the sailors are afraid. He looks like a ghost to them. But quickly, he speaks up. Now here in this passage, in John's Gospel, verse 20 says, he says, be not afraid. But in the other Gospels, Matthew and Mark, he says, be of good cheer. Wait a minute now, Lord. Be of good cheer. There's a storm out here. This is rough business here, Lord. But he says, be of good cheer. And I know many times as the seas became boisterous and the ship that's rolled and all the rest of it, you were able to relax knowing that he was there. You could be of good cheer. And so he comes near. He comes near. Oh, unsaved friend, though you have rejected him and you have wandered away, yet he still loves you. It doesn't matter where you've strayed, he loves you. And my friends, remember, Jesus came to them. The Son of Man has come.